Let's get to David Kotok. David is CIO and chairman of Cumberland Advisors. So, David, let's weigh up a point I raised there in the data check. China ending its isolation, it seems like good news. It's hugely positive for growth, but it may also be negative for global inflation and also perhaps the export of some new mutated strains of the virus. Let's start off with, you know, how it makes the Fed's job. Does this make the central banker's job a lot more difficult?
Well, thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me on. Happy New Year to you and Rish. It's a pleasure to end the year in a conversation with you, although the topic that you just described is a tough one. China's a roaring forest fire right now with COVID. We know that. We wonder about how big the data impact is in terms of deaths and long COVID disability and hospitals with all the reports that we see. And we also know that the opening up is going to trigger more energy consumption. And we see it reflected already in changes in the oil price in the oil markets. So that's the trade-off. More economic growth when China gets through the COVID forest fire, no question about that. Higher oil prices makes the Fed's job harder.
But tell us something here, David. I mean, do you think that we could perhaps see China exporting its disinflation that it has compared to the rest of the world, though it is inflation all but in name, but I mean, it is far, far less than what's going on elsewhere.
Well, Rish, that's really a cutting-edge question. How badly will the labor force in China be impacted by COVID? That's really key. If there's 3 or 4 million deaths, and remember the United States had 1.25 million excess deaths, and there's a population in China that doesn't have the vaccine protection that Americans had, notwithstanding all the anti-vaxxers in the U.S. So labor force is very critical in transition with this pandemic. A year from now, things will be better. But now we're not so sure what the impacts will be.
See, when I was looking at this, I was thinking that traders should not worry so much about inflation because of exactly the point that Rish made. At the moment, China doesn't have an inflation problem. It's struggling so much to get out of COVID and lockdowns that, you know, prices have been pretty stable there. And also in terms of how wicked could the mutations be, you know, they're opening up at a time when the virus has mutated to the weak side. Everybody's getting it and shaking it off in 4 or 5 days. So wouldn't you want to look at this as a pretty big net positive?
It should be a pretty big net positive. I agree. I mean, in our portfolio strategy, we are operating under the assumption that it is a net positive from the investor standpoint. And the worrisome is how strong shocks and responses to shocks don't run on linear timetables.
Yeah,
they are very volatile. And we still have a shooting war in Europe, and we still have a worldwide financial sanctions war, and we still have misbehavior with North Korea. Oh my gosh, you can't make all this stuff up. There's so many moving parts.
David, let us not forget that, you know, it's also an era at the moment of tightening monetary policy. We've got these geopolitical problems, COVID, as we've been talking about in China. How does this set up 2023? How do you see the assumptions playing into this and what's going on the ground?
Well, Rish, China is the one place where you don't have tightening monetary policy. So will the resurgence in China, because of the monetary easing and debt relief, trigger some inflationary pressures? We'll find out. As for the G7, as for the U.S., you're right. We have worldwide tightening policy, and we have yet to feel the full force of that. The lag time may be shorter. There's a Federal Reserve study out now. It says it's 12 months instead of 18 months. Well, who knows? So lag times with monetary policy are there. how much the shock of rising interest rates and tightening financial conditions in the United States is evidenced yet in the economy and in markets remains to be seen. I'm not sanguine about this. I think we have recession and trouble in front of us.
So you don't buy some of the latest data. I mean, just on Friday, we had data that really encouraged markets, and it helped a big rally yesterday in addition to the China news. If we set aside the China news, does the U.S. still have an inflation problem?
Yes, I think so. It seems to me that if the Fed wants the inflation rate measured by the PCE or PCE core to be a sustainable 2%, it has to stay tighter longer. And Loretta Mester reaffirmed that with an interview with Mike McKee on Bloomberg just very recently. Tighter longer. Now, we'll find out what that means. So otherwise, the Fed would have to say, we'll accept 3% or we'll accept 4%. And I don't think that's in the cards.
David, okay, you know, let's have a look at how, you know, you're going to 2023 in terms of asset allocation and the like. I mean, we saw 2022 essentially the end of free money, of course, and it's still that whole concept of free money and the lack of it now is being digested. How does this change? Is it now all about the search? You know, we've got yields, of course, now really showing some juice, as it were. Where'd you go? Defensive and high yield? What's the deal? And, you know, how does the whole of the year pan out?
Well, I wouldn't go in high yield because I believe credit spreads will widen. And therefore, you want the highest quality credit if you're going to be in the bond side. And we are emphasizing that and particularly doing so for American clients in tax-free municipal bonds because they're so relatively cheap to the taxable bonds. In the stock market, we're about 20% in cash, Rish. And we have overweight positions in aerospace defense for all the reasons that we've talked about around the world. The healthcare sector for all the reasons that we continue to talk about. And alternate energy, not fossil fuel. And we also now have a 10% position in gold and silver miners. We think precious metals are going to go north in price.
David, do you think that looking at what we're in the midst of is kind of cyclical and just go with some of the secular choices? Like you said, I mean, Tesla now has dropped 70% from basically the beginning of the year, and its PE is in the low 20s. So do you want to play that? Or, you know, the profile that you've been describing is a very cautious one, not opportunistic.
No, I'm on the cautious side. And I realize there's a lot of very optimistic forecasts for 2023, maybe by the end of 2023, but we haven't seen any earnings contraction yet. Markets are still seeing S&P 500 earnings with a 200-plus kind of number. We don't know how those are going to come in. The profit share of the GDP is very high. It seems to me if we're going to get a slowdown or recession, that has to contract. So we are cautious. We are not roaring optimists in our shop.
So briefly then, do you like duration here?
I would be very careful in the tax-free municipal bond space in U.S. Yes. In the Treasury curve, no.
Okay, we'll save that. We'll save the why to that no for our next visit. I hope to have you on soon, probably within a month or so. Thanks very much, David. David Kotok, Chief Investment Officer and Chairman of Cumberland Advisors.